Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I see. We got to talk about the tournament, but I just wanted to quickly mention, I see that the Jake Arrieta sweepstakes ended over the weekend.
Yeah.
And the Phillies.
I'm a little surprised.
I'm a little surprised, too. The Phillies are right there, and that's one of the teams that we talked about him potentially going to. Mm-hmm. But $75 million over 3 years. I would have thought that the Nats could be in that running for a deal of that size, but apparently not.
It's a lot of cake. It is.
It is. It is, but it's not like it was a $220 million deal.
I was surprised that they didn't get that done. Maybe they just felt like they didn't need it. Maybe they feel comfortable with their five they have.
I'm sure they would love to have had them. Just financially, they just couldn't make it work.
By the way, we'll be in Florida for spring training in a week.
I mean, think about it. Harper's coming off the books, we assume.
Yeah.
Right? Murphy's probably coming off the books.
Yeah.
So, 73 years, over $25 million for 3 years? I mean, that's...
Would have loved to have had him.
Nothing.
Would have loved him. I was definitely a little bit disappointed when I saw that. But.
And he goes to a division rival. You're facing that guy a bunch as well.
Where are they projected as far as number of wins? What does Vegas have them? They're over under.
It can't be a ton because they were probably awful last year.
Yeah.
Well, probably somewhere in the 70s.
Makes him better, makes him more formidable, and he won't be here. So that was a little bit disappointing when I saw that. We'll say that.
Absolutely.
And as Cakes mentions, we are leaving. What are we leaving? Like the Monday? A week from today?
A week
after
from today.
The show?
Correct. Yep. We're heading down to West Palm, Ballpark of the Beaches.
We've decided to take 11:30 flight, which is a little anxiety-provoking for me because we're going to leave here right at the end of the show.
Yeah. Chase is doing the later flight.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
He always does his own thing. Like, he's tipping the valet.
There's no chance I'm just lingering around here or in an airport. If I can just sprint that. You know what? Here's what we need to do. Tape segment. The last 20 minutes. So we have a little bit of extra wiggle room to head over to the airport. Hello, thinking head. Thank you. You're welcome.
That's not a bad bit.
But yeah, I don't want to linger in the airport for 2+ hours. I've done it before and I've seen the bottom of many beer glasses doing that. But if I can get on a bird at 11:30 instead of 3, I'm all about that.
2 hours if he went straight to the airport, which I'm guessing he's not going to. You'd be lingering for like 4 hours.
Oh, he's
going to
go home and pack. No, I know his deal. That's what he does.
Plus, I don't like rushing around. And
I don't like rushing around either.
I don't feel like packing my stuff up and getting into the car Monday morning. I just want to chill. And then I don't want to leave my car here and have to come back here and get my car on Wednesday where I can just have my car right at the airport and go home.
Right.
I'm calculating.
Because you're flying out of Dulles while the rest of us are flying out of...
I got to fly out of Reagan.
Oh, so you're going to go home and then come back.
There's no direct flights. Believe me, I'm very tilted by it.
Right.
There's no direct flights out of Dulles going to West Palm.
It's crazy.
I don't understand it.
I don't get it either.
So there's not. Well, I guess I could connect somewhere if I really wanted to.
Where's our connector?
Hold on, it's not... Wait,
no, we're direct.
We're straight. Oh, yeah, nonstop.
That's why we're going from Reagan.
Yeah.
All right, that's why I have to go to Reagan.
I thought maybe we flew to Miami or something. Is that
where
we fly to?
No, you fly right into West Palm.
West Palm.
Land right there. There's no more flying into Orlando and then driving an hour and 20 minutes to Vieira. Those days are officially done.
Now, I could bring two carry-ons, right?
I don't know.
Two carry-ons.
A backpack and then a carry-on.
I'm not bringing a backpack. I'm bringing a big-ass.
Well, you can bring one. I think you can bring one carry-on, can't you? And a backpack.
You can bring a carry-on and a personal item, which is usually a backpack.
A personal item is going to be a big-ass camera bag.
Okay.
I mean, if you can wear it over your back, I mean,
sure,
it has a strap.
Yeah, it's fine.
I think you'll be fine.
Yeah. All right.
You're going to be hunting for the overhead compartment. I can tell already. The wheels are spinning.
Well, at least it's not like Southwest, where, you know, it's just the wild, wild west.
You combat that with your early bird check-in. That's easily rectified.
Yeah.
You fork over an extra 15 or 20 bucks each way. Boom, you're on the bird early.
Now, you shot the lacrosse game over the weekend?
Yeah, the Albany-Maryland game. That was awesome, number one versus number two. Now, it sucked that Maryland lost. Lost like in the last seconds there. They had a nice lead. Albany scored the last 5 goals unanswered. But, yeah, it was an unbelievable game, one versus two. Great atmosphere in College Park. Pete Medhurst did the TV call.
Pedro, good for him.
Yeah, I think it was for the Big Ten Network.
Correct.
Yeah, it was awesome. Great, great.
That's got to be Albany's first. They've never beaten Maryland before, I'm guessing. Have they ever beaten Maryland before?
I'm sure. I don't know the answer to that. You're asking me something I don't know. But Albany's been great for the last few years. I mean, Albany's number one in the country.
How many people go to those games?
That one? I don't know. Pete might have
I think
there
were about 7,000 or 8,000 there for that, which is a huge turnout.
It was a huge
for
turnout.
Lax, so that was great.
I've been to quite a few big, you know, Maryland lacrosse games. That was the most attended game I've been to. But yeah, awesome. I tweeted some pictures if anybody wants to just see some images from the game. Very, very cool game. My son, unfortunately, had diarrhea. He missed about half the game on the toilet.
Gross.
He was on the toilet pooping water.
Public restroom.
He doesn't
toilet.
Care. He's gone to lacrosse tournaments
you've
before.
You've got that. If you got
that diarrhea,
issue,
what are you going to do?
I get it.
But he's gone with regular, just, you know, he's just a regular outing to the bathroom and sat in a porta potty for 30 minutes and played a game on his phone.
Porta-potty.
He doesn't care.
Yeah. That's vicious. Because if that happened to me on Saturday, you're talking about Saturday, right?
I can't remember what day it was. I
would have been at MGM National Harbor,
yeah.
And they've got nice bathrooms.
The bathrooms are nice. That's
I could
true.
Deal with that.
Yeah.
But I've been to the University of Maryland football games many a time, and I've seen those restrooms.
The troughs. No.
Yeah.
No, he was in there for about half the game. Oh. I mean, it just had water. I mean, what are you going to do? But I've
terrible.
Seen him do that in a porta potty and go in there
what
for 30
up?
Minutes.
Is he sick?
Yeah, it's, I don't
got
know.
A little virus?
Some bug or something. I mean,
Chipotle?
He had it for like 3 days. In fact, I finally had to give him Imodium that night because he had to do his iDrive Smart. Here's the thing. We were going to cancel it. I'm going to give you a little inside baseball here. But you're not allowed to cancel your driving thing inside 3 days. There's no number to contact anybody on the weekend. And if I would have, they would have charged us $190 if we missed the drive.
What drive are we talking about?
So, you know, when you're getting your permit or you're getting your license, you have to do 3 driving things, whatever, with an instructor on the road for 2 hours.
Yeah, you got to go out on the road.
Right. Yeah. So this was a third one.
Oh, yeah.
And he literally had water coming out. Couldn't stop him.
Water.
So I went and raced and bought him Imodium. And, you know, I don't really like to give a person Imodium. I've taken it before because it just, I don't think it really cures anything.
Yeah,
it just kind of stops it.
Well, yeah, I would say if he's had it for 2 days prior, I don't understand why you wouldn't give it to him before going to a game. You know what I mean?
I didn't know it was that bad. I knew he had had some loose movements. I didn't realize it was the way it was. It was like a soda dispenser. Okay. So then I just was like, well, we're going to cancel the iDrive. We're going to cancel the driving thing because you can't do that. I mean, you have to wear a diaper. And then when my wife told me it's $190, I said, well, I've got buying him Imodium and we're going.
And a diaper.
Because I don't think I'm particularly cheap. But I'm not paying $190 to cancel something.
Who right. wants to waste money? Nobody.
I would have wasted 50. If my wife said it was $50 to reschedule, that's my limit. 190,
that's
you're going to wear a
yeah,
diaper, and we're going to get Imodium, and you're going to do it. So that's what we did. But now I don't think he can poop. Now it's been like, you know, a day or so, and
it'll work its way
off.
In there.
You guys ever use that Imodium when you're having it?
You know what I do is I keep it in my golf bag.
You do?
Oh yeah.
Why? Because you get a because
sometimes
get a
sometimes you get a wave on the course, and you last thing you want to do is be running back and forth to the clubhouse.
Where to put that Imodium? Which pocket is it in?
I keep a rack of Imodium in my golf bag.
Really? You're very prepared.
And I also have a little roll of toilet paper.
But it
just
won't
in case.
Prevent it. Like if you're feeling a wave, it's not going to prevent that
no,
immediate
no,
wave.
No, but what's
the secondary
happened is
one.
It's the secondary one. So right. If you have a wave on the course. All right, and you're not close to the clubhouse.
That's next level prep, by the way.
Yeah,
you have toilet paper in your bag.
Yeah, and then boom, you pop the Imodium, and then you're good to go.
Pretty good. Yeah. Well,
he's
anyway,
Motrin.
Too much information for you guys. I don't even know how that came about, but oh, because we were at the Maryland game, and he was on the toilet for half the game.
Man, it's Albany.
By the way, Maryland had been 3-0
versus
Albany.
Doesn't Albany have some silly? Oh, Maryland.
Before this weekend.
Yeah, they have Albany. A Native American, Tohoka Nanatoke.
Freshman?
Yeah.
Stud.
Isn't
he a big
although
kid?
He didn't, he's a big kid. Yeah. He's probably 26. But he really didn't have a big game.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they had another kid there that's a superstar. This Connor Fields that dominated.
Where's Connor Fields from?
He might be.
Canadian?
I don't know the answer. He might be a Canadian kid. Yeah, but he's
Connecticut.
Slight. Oh, is he from Connecticut? Yeah, he's only like 5'10",
5'11". Oh, there's 5'11". Pedro. There's Pedro chiming in.
How many did Connor Fields finish with?
Four.
They had him and Jacob Patterson both had four.
Right. They kept.
But Fields ended up with 6 points on the day.
Right. They kept Tahoka or whatever. They kept him in check.
His name is actually Dagota.
Yeah.
That's how it's pronounced. But you're right. Maryland, very physical with him, kind of took him out of the game. But Fields, a lot of Albany's guys stood around and watched Fields, but then Patterson stepped up late. And McClancy was awesome as well, two-way midfielder.
I heard Pete had an amazing call.
That's Pedro on the call. Big Ten Network. Big selling.
That was a big game for Pete.
What was the final?
11-10, correct?
That was a one-goal game.
Yep.
Oh, it was an amazing game. I mean, Maryland was pretty much dominating the first half. And then they just slowly started getting possession.
10-6 going to the fourth, but never had the ball in the fourth quarter.
Right.
How'd you deal with Tiger Woods being on while you're shooting a lacrosse game?
It was early.
Oh, okay.
And Tiger had a later tee time, really didn't miss a shot.
Tiger didn't tee off until, what, Saturday, like 1:45?
Yeah, didn't really miss a shot. But that's what I
said. I saw a couple shots on Saturday. I didn't watch any of them.
Yeah. Well, what I feel bad is I didn't watch any of the selection show, and it might be the first year in my life I didn't watch any of the selection show.
I actually listened to it because I was driving around.
You didn't miss much.
I heard a lot of criticism. Were they having technical difficulties too?
The audio was not synced up with the video.
Were you not feeling the studio audience?
Oh.
I didn't care about
that. I heard it was almost sounded like fake laughter.
Ernie Johnson and Greg Gumbel just aren't as good as... I mean, I'd much rather watch the ESPN guys.
Right.
So, yeah, they released the teams in alphabetical order, and then they did their analysis, and I just went right to ESPN. Because it's a much more educated discussion when you go to Billis and Greenberg and Reese Davis.
Those are college guys.
Yeah.
Seth's always really good, but it seemed like he was neutered this year.
Oh,
like
really?
He really only talked about one region. Usually, when Seth's at the desk, he breaks down the entire bracket.
Well,
Seth,
when we come back.
Seth who?
Davis. Yeah.
When we come back, can we go through it, though?
I'm talking about Greenberg. I wasn't talking about Davis. I'm sorry. I was talking about Billis and Greenberg and Williams and all those guys.
Right. But when we come back, let's go through the whole thing a little bit. Okay. The one season.
But yeah, the selection show
out.
It wasn't very good.
Was Notre Dame, did they have a shot? Were they on most people's bubble list?
They were first one out.
That's what they suggest? First one out? Damn.
So Davidson's win probably knocked them out.
Right.
There's some controversy on some team like Syracuse against Notre
Dame. Maryland not even invited to NIT.
Yeah. That's good, though. Nobody wanted to deal with that.
Yeah, but still.
There's no chance Anthony Cowan wants to play in the net.
It's not the best look.
Is there any chance Maryland requested to not be invited?
I don't think you can request that.
You could probably just say, hey, I know Feinstein said you can't. Not go, but you could probably say.
I don't know the answer to that.
Please don't invite us.
Maybe.
Please don't invite us. It's going to be a disaster. Because I would think Maryland would get invited, and based on their record, I would think they'd get invited.
That's a good question.
I thought power teams or like power conferences, you're above 500, you get to the NIT.
Like it's automatic. Maryland didn't make it in the big dance. We're going to invite them.
I'm going to guess they put in the heads up that, hey, you can invite us if you want, but it's going to be a show. Fan base not going to support this.
Right, it'd be like 300 people in the stands in Xfinity. I mean,
it's going to be ugly. Not going to be good for your tournament.
Well, you could have put them on the road.
That's true. Could have done that. Definitely. But you really want to put a team in there that doesn't want to be there?
I mean, Notre Dame's going. You think Notre Dame really wants to play?
No.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. You know, Trav's really upset about the selection show. I didn't watch it until the very end because I was driving around. And I was surprised. John Thompson's still doing his thing on the radio.
How could they botch the... It wasn't just my TV, right? It was the audio was not synced to the video.
You're right.
I don't understand how they could have gotten that. How do they not fix that? Drop the ball on that.
Well, how do you, even if it starts out that way?
Yeah. How far off was it?
All those engineers and producer, it was off by a good second and a half, it seemed like. Maybe two seconds.
So you would see the lips moving.
Oh, it was terrible.
It was enough that annoyed the country.
But how do you not fix that? I just.
And the lights went out. After the brackets were revealed, they're doing an interview, the lights went out, the studio went out.
I mean, it was a total disaster.
What are they doing there? What's happening?
Yeah. This is what I did. I watched the teams be announced. So they did all of the automatic qualifiers in alphabetical order, and then they did the at large in alphabetical order. So that's how you know that you know, when they get through the to the ends and Notre Dame's not there, you know they're not getting in.
And then you hear Trey Young's in.
Whereas when you're doing the brackets, when they did it the old way, you know, they're releasing the brackets, you still think, okay, well, there's still another region to go, so maybe they get in. But
right before they forced I flipped right over to almost 45 minutes.
I flipped right over to ESPN after they announced the 6-8 teams because it was awful.
It definitely took out the drama, which forced you to watch like an entire show. Now you can watch 10 minutes like, all right, Oklahoma's in, this team's out.
Yeah, but you want to see where they – it is still important if you're a fan – to see where they're bracketed, where they're going to go, so you would hold on.
Yeah, you want to see the draw.
I know, but here's the thing: ESPN had the brackets up right
away.
Ernie Johnson was asking for slices of pizza. It was awkward because you're trying to placate Pizza Hut. I mean, it was just a debacle the way around.
Contractually, ESPN can't release the brackets before CBS or in this case TBS did.
Right, mm-hmm.
But it's literally 5 seconds after they release them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you can just watch the teams, and then you go right over to ESPN.
Again, I agree. I'd rather watch Jay Williams, Jay Billis, and Greenberg. I've said this many times. They have cheapened it by taking it off the mothership. I understand it's a big cash grab. I know you want to show games on TBS and True TV and TNT, wherever else they're aired. You've diluted the product. Congratulations, NCAA. Job well done.
Hmm. Like you said,
I don't think they're crying.
They came out with the revenue that the NCAA brought in last year.
I understand, but greed won out. Good job. Well done. You've cheapened your product. You've made it harder to find for people.
Were you surprised the NCAA is greedy?
No, not whatsoever. Of course not.
Did anything jump out at you, though? The only thing that jumped out at me is that Trey Young got in after all that discussion. They don't deserve it. They've lost 11 out of 15. They've been on this terrible losing streak.
Well, I mean,
you got a star that everybody wants to see.
Every year, do they have
good wins though?
Early in the season, I guess.
Yeah,
they still count. I know it's better later, but it still counts.
Well, that's the thing: is the committee kind of hangs its hat on this whole body of work, you know, mm-hmm. cliche. Well, all right, but I think that you have to be. You're a totally different team now than you were in December when you beat Wichita. All right, when teams start to figure out what Trey Young was all about and what Oklahoma wanted to do offensively, well, they started beating them. So I think that, and especially when you compare head-to-head with Oklahoma State, who beat Oklahoma twice and has, I think, better conference wins. But you know what? Every year there's going to be teams that are pissed off. Hmm. Every single year. So I do have a problem with OU. Why doesn't the committee just tell us the truth and say, we want Trey Young in the tournament?
I just want stars.
People want to see him play. Just tell us the truth.
Props to UVA,
don't give me that they have better body of work than Oklahoma State.
Props to UVA. We'll see how they do, but they earn the number one overall seed. They win the ACC tournament.
And they're going to play UMBC.
In Charlotte.
Pedro and Deporte's favorite school.
That's right. Hmm.
In Charlotte, UMBC coached by Ryan Odom.
And that was right after you gave them no chance to beat Vermont.
I didn't think they were going to beat Vermont.
Not on Vermont's floor, no way.
Jarius Lyles, former DeMatha.
Well, did you see how many times UMBC's lost to Vermont consecutively until Sunday?
No.
23.
They never beat them. Perfect time to beat them.
Yeah, and this is arguably Vermont's better, one of their better teams.
Right.
Shocker, so that was a huge upset.
Over the weekend, Grayson Allen had another punk move.
Yeah, of course.
What did he do? Someone with a hip? I remember reading it on social media.
If his name's not Grayson Allen, that's just a regular foul.
What did he do? He just slid his hip out.
He hip-checked him. Guy was running down the court. He stuck his butt out. He wanted to stop the fast break.
That doesn't sound too bad.
It wasn't that bad, but it's just add another one to the body of work.
It wasn't that big of a deal.
I'd like to see that.
He just can't get it out of him. He's a dirty player. Yeah. It's part of his DNA. Can't get it out of his system.
It's in his core. He can't escape it.
Let's go to Brian in Virginia Beach. Brian, what's up, buddy? Y'all are the Junks.
Hey guys. Hey, just wanted to see, you know, talking about good old basketball, but mm-hmm. with the Virginia Cavaliers, I think for being the overall number one seed, you know, just from what I saw glancing at the brackets last night, that just want to get your opinion on the teams that are in it. Seems like they have one of the tougher, you know, possible roads than some of the other number one seeds.
But I agree. Yeah.
I know Cincy, Kentucky, Tennessee, Texas, but, you know, some others.
They got Arizona.
Yeah, and then they're in the South, and, you know, I think a lot of people thought they would be in the East, but, you know, just just didn't seem for a number one seed. Usually, you know, you get a little more respect, a little more easier path.
But in the East, but see, the number one overall seed, they want to put them closest to home. So it makes sense that U of A goes to Charlotte. If they're number one seed in the East, they're going to Pittsburgh. So it makes sense that they're the number one seed in the South. Villanova's going to Pittsburgh, but you're right.
Yeah, Nova has an easier path than UVA, definitely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, UVA, they got to get through UK or Arizona. They've got Tennessee on the bottom half. They've got Cincy on the bottom half. Man, can you imagine if UVA played Cincy? The final score might be 28-27. But
the South is really difficult. People want to say it's difficult because you're going up against Ayton, and he's been playing really well, and he might be the top pick in the NBA draft, but what it said is that it actually was a good matchup. This is just one guy's opinion for Virginia because Arizona doesn't shoot very well from the outside.
Well, a lot of the teams in the South region have a similar style of play to UVA. So mm-hmm. you know how most people are afraid that if they run into this three-point shooting team that gets hot that they'll kind of run away from UVA? Well, a lot of these teams kind of have a similar style where it's a lot more slowed down and more defensive-oriented.
And it doesn't mean that Arizona can't shoot well in that particular game. You know what I mean?
Right, but so could have North Carolina or all the teams they just beat in the ACC tournament. Like, yeah. UVA's good.
UVA's very good. UVA didn't allow a team to score 70 all year, I don't believe.
Let's go to Mike in Waldorf. Mike, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies. How are you?
I'm all right. How about yourself?
Hey, doing great.
What's up?
I was wondering if y'all saw Dickie V's meltdown on the ESPN selection show about Oklahoma getting in but not Oklahoma State after Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma twice and Michigan State twice and West Virginia at West Virginia. Ooh. I thought he was going to have a stroke. I've never seen a meltdown before.
That sounds like a pretty damn good resume.
Hold on, they beat Michigan State. Beating Michigan State twice? That doesn't make sense.
No.
That can't be right.
Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma twice.
Right.
They beat Kansas twice.
Right.
And they beat West Virginia at West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Texas Tech.
You probably meant Kansas instead of Michigan.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But aren't they one of those teams, and I guess it shouldn't affect the Selection Sunday, that is named in the NCAA investigation? And all those teams that were named that were bubbly, I think USC is another one.
And Louisville.
Louisville.
And Louisville's the third. They all didn't get invited into the big dance.
Yeah, but that's a coincidence somehow that they all conveniently were left out.
Right. So the NCAA, the selection committee, they don't want to deal with it. These teams go out and make a run. If they put them in, then they got to take their banner away or whatever the hell is going on with that investigation.
I mean, believe me, a lot of people are talking about that. Is it coincidental or, you know, obviously the committee is not going to tell you that they factor that in, but it's awfully coincidental.
So
Oklahoma State doesn't get an OU does.
So by most accounts, UVA's got the toughest draw, even there. They're the number one overall. People love Villanova's. You know, if you just looked at it from afar on paper, they love their path. My daughter was asking me, she wanted some help, and I was like, honey, I really haven't watched that much college basketball this year. But the sexy pick seems to be Villanova, at least going into the tournament, I felt like.
I mean, yeah.
Selections.
If they have to play West Virginia, that could be dicey because West Virginia is really playing well now, and they can defend full court. I think that, you know, Brunson and the guards for Villanova could probably handle the press, but West Virginia won't be easy. But I just look at the South, and I look at Kentucky, who's playing really well now.
John Calipari's happy that they're getting shipped out to Boise.
Yeah,
he's like, my players don't even know where Boise is.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. He's got eight freshmen on his team.
They might not even know where Kentucky is.
You're probably right.
Then he's got Arizona in that region. He's got Tennessee in that region. He's got Cincinnati in that region. And I think Nevada could scare some people in that region too, but, you know. You got to play the good teams if you want to get to the Final Four, if you want to get to San Antonio, right?
So we'll have some play-in games tomorrow?
Yeah, man. You got Drabby's Arizona State Sun Devils get in. That was also a little controversial. By the way, the Pac-12 just got dissed big time because they got three teams in, and two of them were playing in the play-in games in Dayton.
Right. And Arizona got a four seed.
Right, and Arizona got a four seed. And USC didn't get in, and they thought they were a lock. But you got a couple playing games tomorrow. You've got St. Bonnie's and UCLA tomorrow, and you've got LIU and Radford.
Talking some Tiger, he finished second at the Valspar, which apparently is paint.
It is paint. That's correct. I have verified that, yes, through many sources.
Well, you can see all the commercials.
It's paint.
And so EB mentioned on Saturday he did get to watch it because Tiger was playing late, but he was out shooting lacrosse. Pete Medhurst calling the Albany, Maryland game for the Big Ten Network, and EB was there.
Great game.
Cakes, myself, and Matt Valdez were all at the Chance for Life MGM National Harbor on Saturday.
That's correct.
And it's actually the first time I was able to play. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, you know, Brad has been coming by here for several years, and we've been involved with Chance for Life for several years. I haven't been able to go, whether it's coaching or different, you know, you just have different commitments. Like, Jason wasn't able to go. I know you've played in the past. You weren't able to go. You've played in the past. And it is an unbelievable event. This was the biggest one by far. I guess it's just grown to the point.
At MGM National Harbor.
There were 700 players in the poker tournament.
Mm-hmm. It's by far the best run
700.
Poker charity event I've ever been in, and that's been in years past. I haven't even been there since they've been at MGM, where it's just exploded.
You have to go experience it at MGM.
And I was asking Cakes because I played for like 2 hours in the poker tournament. Right. I had to work that night. I was doing Wizards. I pretty much called my shot. I said, because Chris Farley was at our table, and I told him, I'm going all in the next 15 minutes, no matter what.
Well, actually, before we even sat down to play,
I said, no matter what, I will go all in the next 15 minutes.
I was the last person to sit down at the table, and Valdez and JP were like, hey, we're going to dump all of our chips to you, and you can go make a deep run. And I was thinking, I was like, I'm kind of psyched for that to happen. But then, like, four or five other people sat down at the table, and I was like, well, they're not going to be in on this bit. So I just told them, I was like, thanks, but just play whatever, however you're
going to
play.
Farley did ship me the chips.
Well, because
you have to have, like, I'm ready to go. Cake still has to be in on a hand. I'm happy to dump my chips to him, but he's got to be in on the hand.
Right.
Like, if I'm acting after
highly unethical.
Very unethical.
It's a lock Farley dumped his chips to Cakes because they both were in the hand, and Cakes is a big nit, and he was betting into a board with an ace high, and Farley had two queens. So it's a lock he dumped his chips to Cakes.
I can't influence the way Chris Farley plays poker. I mean,
right, but I don't even want to talk about the poker, although Cakes played till 8 o'clock. Like, I bounced out of there
around
3, I would say.
I think 11? The tournament probably started around 12 or 12:15.
So you probably got there at 11.
I got there 11:15, around there.
It's a long day.
I mean, I had to rebuy.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't, trust me, I wasn't going to make it as far as I did with the meager amount of chips, so I rebought 10K in chips when I had the opportunity. I went and bought
for
charity.
It's for charity.
Yeah, like
right.
They're raising all this money for pediatric cancer research. The least I can do is dip into my pocket.
And the story is amazing.
Add a little bit to the till.
And by the way, the first year, I remember the first year I played in it.
Yeah.
It was held at the Georgetown. What was that club called? The
Sphinx Club?
The Georgetown Men's Club.
Was it a different? Okay.
It was right there.
A couple different clubs.
It was right there on M Street in Georgetown.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a nice place, but, I mean, it's obviously not the MGM.
Right.
No, they had the ballroom.
So that thing is growing big time.
It is.
They had the ballroom for the tournament. And then I asked Cakes, I was just wondering, so the whole ballroom was full of tables.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay?
700 people. And there were more people that wanted to play that couldn't because it was sold out.
Right.
And then they had the theater, which is where we held our poker tournament. That was for the taste experience.
The tasting event and the after party.
Man, what did Valdez do? Because you brought your bride, right?
This is Matt.
What did she end up doing while you were playing poker?
No. She just came for the tasting thing. So I got to go and be at the casino for like 6 hours.
Right.
And she came for the tasting at 6:30.
And did she get sized? I mean, she left her phone in the Uber or whatever. That sucked.
Yeah, she got sized. It was a ton of
DJ,
fun.
They had DJ Scribble, I believe. There were a lot of celebrities. Joe Montana was a surprise guest.
I couldn't believe it.
I mean, Joe was a surprise
doing the
musical guest.
We were out there by 9:30.
It might have been Scribble. I don't know.
No, John Popper.
Oh, John Popper from
Blues Traveler?
That's a great one.
An amazing guest.
They bring a silly harmonica to start.
You did.
So they're doing like one of the live auctions during the poker tournament, and the hype man comes out and he's like, "Yeah, we got this 49ers Joe Montana signed helmet." And then 2 minutes later, Joe Montana walks out on the stage.
People were sending me pictures of Montana at the food court.
Yeah.
Looking up at the menu.
Can you imagine?
I'm like, Jack? What? Right. Are you kidding me?
Oh, and Joe Montana was there, and then they had him sign a bunch of balls that they auctioned off for the charity. And then after Montana got off the stage, they're like, okay, we're going to bring up Doc Gooden, who's auctioning off a sit-in with him and Daryl Strawberry at Citi Field. You know, you bring two or four people, hang out, watch a Mets game with Doc and Daryl.
That's crazy.
Fetching you drinks in the suite.
That is
How
awesome.
How great is that?
Yeah, it was a really amazing event. Doug Kammer was the MC. And he's introducing people. And then
Phil Hellmuth is there for people that follow poker.
Yeah, the poker brat is there.
He's there.
Here's what I loved.
He has the microphone the whole time, and he's just walking around grilling people's hands.
He was doing a Q&A before all this started, like one of the back rooms behind where everything was taking place. And he was just goofing on guys like Antonio Esfandiari, Daniel Negreanu. Mm. I had a chubber in my pants.
That's inside.
Did anybody
poker.
Record any of that
I don't
stuff?
Know if anybody recorded it, but it was pretty cool.
But how Hellmuth was walking access. Around, and like Santana Moss, a lot of people from NBC Sports Washington were there.
Right.
Phil Chenier stopped by, introduced him to, yep. to Cakes. He
wasn't Phil
Chenier
likes
tournament.
Craps, by the way. I learned
oh,
that.
Really?
Yeah, I was like, what's your poison? He said, he just did this.
He likes to roll bones.
Craps guy. That's my guy.
So he was just walking by.
That's a real degen right there.
Brian Mitchell was there. So a lot of people from NBC Sports Washington were there. I think they were one of the sponsors.
Yeah.
But Phil Hellmuth would just walk by and he'd go, he'd look at like Santana Moss's hand and he would just start grilling. He's like, yeah, I'm here with Redskins receiver. He's like, oh, you got to go all in with that, Santana. And he's just walking by.
Oh, he's just on his mic.
Yeah. And then I think Cakes, yeah. when he was, you almost made the final table.
Well, I got Cakes down to the final 30.
Right.
And I was like,
I had a 700 is pretty good.
I was like, top three. I was like, I might be able to, if I double up, I might be able to make a run to the final table. So I get moved to a different table, and I'm there for one hand. And at this point, the
blinds. And Hellmuth is, the is blinds, commenting on your table?
At this point, the blinds are 30K, 60K, mm-hmm. and I have 300K in front of me. So mm-hmm. you think, oh, 300K. It's not a lot when you consider the blinds.
No, 30-60, right?
So at like this point, it's robot poker. There's no thought involved. I look down at my cards. I have ace-10. I'm like, well, I'm shipping it in here. It all goes in the middle. A guy with less than me calls with pocket sevens. The chip leader, massive chip leader at the table, he's down where EB is. He's got like three racks of chips, and I see him just stacking them. I was like, oh, this donk's going to call too. I'm going to be in a three-way pot. I don't even have a hand. He calls. Guy across me flips over pocket sevens. I'm like, okay, all right, I'm in a race with him. The guy with the massive chip lead, jack four of diamonds. Mm. I'm like, what are you doing?
He hits a jack.
What are you doing, donkity donk? Mm. So, of course, the run out is he turns a jack, knocks both of us out of the tournament.
Right. Scoops it.
I turned it. I was trying to be graceful, but for a second, I was turning into Brett from 8 years ago. I was just like,
okay. Our old producer.
I was like, I can't believe you're in that hand.
Yeah.
What were you
yeah,
doing
but when
that?
You have that biggest stack, you can afford to
jack
kind of...
Jack four of diamonds?
I know.
Smart play for him.
You can, like, Jamie Gold yeah, it. You
so
can
that,
just play
the
like
dream
crazy.
Was, the dream was dashed at that point.
Inside baseball.
I was bounced.
Another thing which jumped out at me, and I didn't go up and talk to him. Chris Samuels was there, former Redskins.
He was, yeah.
What's he up
lineman.
To?
And so Chris Samuels is part of the Real Housewives of Potomac,
yeah,
I believe.
I think he was. Correct.
And I've seen it, and he does seem to be a really jovial guy.
Yeah.
And man, he just looks like he's just living life happy because Phil Hellmuth went up to him, and I guess he had done this the year before.
Here's what he's up to.
And he said, he goes, yeah, here's former Redskins offensive lineman Chris Samuels, and he likes to rap. He's like, give me a beat. And then all of a sudden you hear a beat.
You're kidding.
And Chris Samuels starts
actually, I felt
like,
bad for
no
him.
No less
was
than
it
five
bad?
Different times.
No. It wasn't.
He's actually pretty good.
It wasn't bad, but the...
But they were riding him like he was Run DMC back in the 80s. The problem, every 20 minutes are handing him
what,
the mic.
Did he just freestyle?
Yeah.
The DJ would drop a beat and he would just start going.
Oh my God.
The problem was last year. Huh? Last year. So he like went up and did it spur of the moment.
Yeah.
And now it's this thing where
every
hour Phil goes up to
he's
him with
come
the mic.
Up with fresh raps.
And he's rapping about Potomac school systems. But funny.
We were slapping our knee at our table.
That's hilarious.
He was killing it.
Does he have like an album out or something?
No,
was he promoting
so.
Anything?
I'm no. telling you, I just think he's living life.
Yeah.
But like part of his rap was about how he's happy in life.
Well, I know as a few years ago, he was like a big high school coach, right? Is he still not doing, is he not doing that anymore?
I hadn't heard that.
I think he was like a high school football coach at some terrible like school.
We only learned about his life through his rap. So he didn't mention that in his rap.
Is he still living in the area? He's obviously still in the D.C.
Yeah, he's still
area,
local.
Right?
Yeah, Potomac.
Yeah. Yeah.
He lives in Potomac?
Yeah, because yeah. he's talking about the silly school systems.
Well,
unless
he was talking to stupid Real Housewives of Potomac or whatever.
Right. No, but it was a great event. I don't know the final tally as to how much money Chance for Life raised, but I'm sure it was either close to or
like
above,
a million and a half?
Above the $1.5 million.
Well, they
goal.
Had a big silly from Boeing
yeah.
who jumped on stage. He's like a big sponsor, so he came to the tournament last year and was so impressed. So they had a lot of...
You know, when we ran our charity poker tournament for Craig Walden, you would have the title sponsor.
Yeah.
The title sponsor would put up, I don't know, 20 grand, whatever right. it was. Their title sponsor, I'm guessing, puts up a lot more.
Yeah, he was buying like half of the Joe Montana footballs. He was rebuying all the time. And I was like, how can I compete? I got one rebuy, and I'm dealing with one of the senior VPs from Boeing.
But it's weird. Like, just at our next table, Lee Evans is there. It's like, why is Lee Evans?
And Phil Hellmuth was jockeying him because Phil is from Wisconsin, and Lee Evans, yeah, Lee Evans. Badgers. He was all over that.
There's
just
random celebrities there.
Jason, are you a little bit jealous that I got to meet Joe Montana?
You go up to him and say hello?
Well, he came to everyone's table and did a picture.
He came to every table. He did a photo. You know,
Jason would ask for a personal,
and
for sure.
I heard he wasn't into those, though.
We shook hands with him, and he's standing there. Valdez goes, I loved you in your Hass avocado spots. Because he did commercials for avocados.
That's what you love him
in. And I just started slapping my knee.
Do you know how many times he's heard about the catch?
Yeah, I know. So you're going to do a different bit.
So I'm doing the different bit.
The different bit.
I bet you out of everyone there, the only person he remembers is the avocado idiot.
You're probably the avocado idiot.
Yeah.
It did make me laugh.
My buddy said he asked him for a selfie with when he was looking at the board at the Shake Shack.
Right.
He was not having it.
Really?
He said no thank you.
He did not want to be bothered with selfies.
So what did he say, though? Did he say no thank you?
He said, I'll shake your hand, but I'm not going to take a picture
with
you. I just realized how much money was there, though.
I actually walked through
the live auction. Did you walk through the auction or the silent auction?
I did.
Oh,
I didn't bid on anything, but I walked through.
Like, the opening bids were all out of my price range. They had so much cool stuff.
They had trips to an Italian villa for like five couples. They had a crazy like spot in Bali, which I believe is in Indonesia, for like four couples with a private chef there for like a week.
Yeah.
I mean, people were just bidding up $5,000, $5,500, $6,000. Valdez and I were just sitting there with our hands in our laps.
Yeah, I'm way
God
too
forbid
cheap for
you
that.
Accidentally raise your hand. One of those.
Did they get? Were they passing out paddles?
No,
the paddle bit.
It wasn't to that extent.
But we're at a cool table. The guy, the owner of Taylor Gourmet, was there.
That's right, Casey Patton. He's a good dude.
Any gift cards?
No gift cards.
I think he. I think I heard. I might be botching, but I think I heard that he prepared something like 40,000 sandwiches for the event.
Probably right.
That seems to be a lot, but.
A lot of roast beef.
That might be it's not going to be 40,000.
It seems like a high number.
I heard something about 40,000.
Maybe 4,000. I mean, they're not 40,000.
You might have added a zero.
That's like an army. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Frank's swing speed is 140.
But the food was amazing. Yeah, right. Like, during one of the breaks, I don't think I've ever had Korean short rib before, but I sampled it over the weekend. It was delicious.
Of course it was.
I'm going to have it again. So everything was, you know...
And the girl,
top
was
flight,
the girl's
amazing.
Doing well, the little girl that's kind of inspired the entire
event.
She was she
yeah.
there again? Did
yes.
she speak?
Amazing
yeah,
story.
Yeah.
She was the
Kennedy.
Homecoming queen this year, apparently.
Wow. Yeah, she's going off to college.
And her cancer's, is it in remission, or they just...
Sounds like it's still there and they're dealing with it, but...
She seems to be thriving.
Like when she was when she was like 3 or 4 years old, they didn't know if she would make it to 5 or 6, and now
right.
she's going off to college.
Now she's 18.
It's absurd.
And they had a video, so the money which they raised last year, they were saying really was used in the last year for testing new cures, and they had a boy come on stage. They showed like this whole mm-hmm. video that's been doing the treatment for a few months. He was shy, but
yep.
he's there with his family. I mean,
that's always a tearjerker.
Oh, yeah. I think that was what got me over the hump to dip in and rebound.
Yeah, right.
I'm telling you, Brad and Phil, they really know how to do it. They're really good at tugging on the heartstrings, which is what the event is about. It's about spending money and helping hopefully find a cure for cancer.
Right.
But there's, we are a bunch of squeakers.
Yeah.
We talk about all the time.
Sure.
You'd be lobbying for gift cards. There are a lot of people there just oozing
money.
Oh, but
don't care about spending money.
Can you imagine being at a charity event, everyone's spending money, and you're hitting up the Taylor Gourmet guy for gift cards? I mean, that's exactly what I'd be doing.
We chose not to do that. We left him alone.
I mean, God forbid if Kava was there. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't have been able to contain yourself.
Jesus.
But, they're setting the bar so high, Brad and the organizers.
How are they going to top it next year?
Yeah, next year.
Every year they have to top it.
Yeah. You got a tiger there next year?
So next year the goal is going to be like $2 million.
Oh, yeah, and they also... They did a bit which I liked. Look, it's very hard to win any poker tournament,
yeah.
and with 700 people,
the odds of you winning the poker tournament are slim and none.
Of course.
But they're doing a jacket bit now. I don't remember the sponsor. So they did all these intros, and they're like, well, we're going to introduce the people that have won this tournament before. When we start, they started in like some small bar 13 years ago, right? Where they had like 40 guys, you know, almost like kind of a big home game, let's say. And they had, I guess, six or seven of the guys were there that had won the previous tournaments, and they did it just like the Masters.
Gold jackets.
Like a gold jacket.
You got to present it on stage. I love the jelly.
Yeah, with your name embroidered on the inside.
A gold jacket. Look, you'd be sliced.
Now I want to win.
Well, you know what else they did that really catered to the high rollers? At one point, they were selling the amount of chips that whoever the chip leader was, like at this point, it was like 98,000 or 100,000.
Yeah,
so Phil would go and say, who's the chip leader? 98,000? You can now be the chip leader if you donate $3,000 to the call.
Yeah, so
of course, the guy from Boeing does this. Reaches the bottom, pulls out $3,000, and he's all of a sudden the chip leader. Yeah,
that's incredible.
That's unbelievable. Yeah,
so Mike Mattisau was there playing in the tournament.
No, he was.
Yes, he was.
Oh, my God.
And so he had to go to a cash game at 3 o'clock. Big, juicy fish at MGM. Yeah.
He just left in the middle?
And so he said...
Was he in his wheelchair? Because, you know, he toils around in like a wheelchair.
He didn't appear to be.
I didn't see him.
He's getting a lot of back pain and stuff. I don't know. He's got a lot of...
So he goes... And so Phil goes, Mike has a cash game to get to at 3. He has X amount of chips. Let's auction it off at $1,000. Who wants his chip stack?
You're kidding.
No.
Anything goes.
Yeah. I mean,
I'd be so Rick if I was a chip leader and I was grinding.
I'm sitting there with like 13
some rich
chips.
Guy
and I'm
just
like,
one-ups you.
I can't pay $3,000 to be
but
the chip leader.
The rebuys let you do that too, like early on.
Yeah, but you started at the beginning.
Yeah, but you started with 5,000 chips, but if you actually...
We're
under 1,000. You could do a rebuy to give yourself 15,000 chips.
Right,
the old double rebuy for $700.
Right.
That's the that was triple, really.
No wonder they raised $1.5 million.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. That's a great event.
All for
and then
cause.
I mean, like at our table, immediately there was a guy getting a massage. There's just so much going on.
It's a great event.
Chanceforlife.net. Brad
I didn't know Mike the Mouse was
job.
There.
Of course he was there. He was shipping his
and some
chips
other
all
guy
the place.
I never heard of. There was a third pro poker player.
Oh,
Cantu
Brandon Cantu. He's a big silly. He's won a World Poker Tour event. He's a big silly.
Yeah, I should have been there.
Damn.
Then I went to a dumb lacrosse game.
Just put it on your calendar for 2019. It'll be here before you know it.
What a great event. But you went home, no skins afterwards?
No skins.
You did that earlier? Or did you go 3 weeks in a row?
Look at that.
We need to stage an intervention. What's going on over there?
How long have you been married?
Jeez. You guys have been married like a week.
Has it been a year?
You guys have been married a week.
Two summers ago?
It'll be a year, April
29th. That's right. My anniversary.
So it's been a year.
That's my anniversary, not yours, Valdez.
Oh, you guys are on the same day?
Yeah.
Join us right now to talk some golf is Jason Sobel, senior golf writer for ESPN.com. Jason, you're not aware of this, but a couple of guys in the show are so into golf and Tiger Woods. It's been Tiger Week every week he's played for the last 3 or 4 years. But they're finally getting what they wanted, which is Tiger in contention.
Well, Jason, as you know, as you know, when Tiger plays, I don't care what tournament it is, I don't care how well or how poorly he's playing, everyone pays attention.
And we're going to start paying a lot more attention to Tiger over the next weeks, months, years. I don't know exactly how long this run is going to last, but as I wrote in my column last night on ESPN.com, the next win is inevitable. He is going to win again. I am convinced of that. The old eyeball test shows us that he is back, and for whatever form you've thought back might be, you know, some people think back is just playing again. Some people think back is playing at elite level. Some people think he won't be back until he's actually winning golf tournaments. Well, he is, to all extents, back and will be playing very good golf for a long time if this weekend was any example of that.
Yeah, and we've seen this kind of slow build up here, the slow burn, as he's basically gotten better every week. It's just been remarkable to watch. I fear a little bit, and I agree with you. It's inevitable he's going to win again. He's going to win multiple times. Whether or not that's going to be a major, who knows? The timing has to be right. But he's certainly shown that Tiger, even a diminished Tiger, is better than all these other chumps. And they're the best in the world. It's just incredible what he still has left in the tank. But here's a question I have for you, Jason. How much of this, though, is a mirage because he basically left the club that gives him the most trouble in the bag all week, and that's the driver, right? As soon as we start going to courses again where he really feels like he needs to rely on that, I think that makes him a little more vulnerable.
A little bit, but I think he's going to figure that out. I've been saying that ever since Torrey Pines and Riviera earlier this year, where he struggled with the driver. That doesn't bother me as much as yipping his chip shots. It doesn't bother me as much as not being able to make a putt. The fact that he wasn't hitting his driver straight is not as much of a concern as the fact that I like the fact that he's got a ton of speed on the driver right now. He's hitting it far. The distance is good. The driving accuracy will come around. And I think what we need to remember is that even Tiger at his best, even Tiger of 2000 winning three majors, was not hitting 80% of the fairways. He's never been that guy anyway. Right. So just the fact that he's hitting it a long way and he's got some speed with the driver, I think that's really a lot of cause for optimism moving forward. So I that club doesn't bother me as much as it bothers a lot of other people right
now. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but he hadn't won a major in 10 years, and the driver's been his biggest problem the last 10 years. It was a little bit more manageable before that, but nevertheless, he's clearly got the game. He's proven that he can win. Now, he's won at Bay Hill five times. Give us kind of the layout of Bay Hill and how this course...
I think he's won at Bay Hill eight times.
Eight times. How yeah, this course?
I was going to say that.
Yeah, how this course suits him so well?
It just suits his eye. There are some courses, and Tiger has tried to explain it before. We asked him a few weeks ago, Riviera, why hasn't he won at Riviera? Why doesn't he play better there? And he goes, I don't know. I like it. I feel like I should play well there. I just don't, and I don't have an explanation for it. And of course, he missed the cut again, and he will come to Bay Hill this week, and he will be asked that question. He'll say, I don't know. I like it, and I sort of seem to play it well. So we go into this week with Tiger at 149th in the world, seemingly the favorite at Bay Hill. I mean, it's not the best field of the year so far. There are obviously a handful of really good players who are competing in the field, but I look at Tiger Woods and say he's got as much of a chance, if not better, of winning this golf tournament this week as anybody else in this field. So the fact that it's sort of an intersection of he's in very good form right now, and he's going to a course where he has a lot of familiarity and he's found success in the past, and I would expect that intersection to result in a very good finish for him this week.
Talking to Jason Sobel, senior golf writer for ESPN.com, and in your column, you out yourself as a guy who doubted he would ever win again, but you also point out Tiger himself, with his own words, over the last couple years, had a lot of doubt himself.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're sort of being outed as haters or disrespectful to Tiger, those of us who didn't think he would win again. And my response to that is I was just listening to him. He told us, I can barely get out of bed at times. I can barely walk down the street, let alone go out there and swing a golf club, and certainly not even close to going out there and winning a golf tournament. I mean, we're only 6 months removed. I went back and looked. October 7th is when he posted a video to social media that was captioned "Smooth Iron Shots." Right. That was the first time we'd seen him publicly hitting a shot in 10 months. And at that point, he spoke not long after that and said, I'm just doing whatever my doctors say I can do. I'm just working on some things. I'm just getting started. This could be a long process. 6 months later, we're talking about him being one of the best golfers in the world again. I mean, this is remarkable, the progress that he has made this quickly. So the fact that he's done it all this quickly, I think give it another 3, 4, 5, 6 months. And he really should be at the point where he is once again, whether in ranking or not. Just watching him, he should be one of the top golfers once again. I don't know if he's going to be number one. I don't know if he's going to be a top 10 guy. I don't know if he's a guy who just kind of...
He's going to be top
10. And
he's going to be top 10.
I would think so.
Guaranteed.
I would think so. Now, it's the way the ranking works, too. You've got to understand there's a whole lot of math and formulas and divisors within the world golf ranking. So there's a lot that goes into it, but he's moved up from, I believe, 589th at the beginning of the year, something like that, to 149th right now. So that's a huge jump, and I would expect him to only keep moving forward.
We talk about the intimidation factor with Tiger, certainly over the years. That was constant. And, you know, now the narrative is, hey, these young guys are so good, they're not intimidated by Tiger anymore. But you know, that was when Tiger wasn't playing very well. You know, he's certainly a different player now than he was, you know, 6 months ago, obviously. And Jordan Spieth played with him twice, and he threw up all over himself. Snedeker shot 78 yesterday, just kind of staying out of the way. I know these young guys are wired a little bit differently than when, you know, Tiger playing against Ernie Els and Mickelson and guys like that growing up. But don't you think that there's got to be, when he's playing well like this, there's got to still be an intimidation factor there? Just, it seems evident.
Part of it is that intimidation factor, although I've never quite bought into the fact that Tiger stands across from a player on the tee box and all of a sudden the player can't swing the club the same way and can't hit the ball the same way. I've never quite bought into that. What is the biggest factor? The fact that there are 10,000, 15,000 people out there watching that singular group. I actually cut across the chipping green, the chipping area, to get out to the fifth hole the other day, and there were a bunch of players out there, and they're all holding wedges, but they weren't hitting shots. They weren't practicing. They were standing there talking to each other, and they were laughing, because if you looked out at the course, and you kind of see the whole course, the Copperhead course, at that point, there was, like, no other fans on the entire course, and all of a sudden you saw one little spot where it looked like there were just a billion people, and some of the players were out there just laughing at the hilarity of it, that there are just so many people out there. Well, that's the biggest factor for other players, that Tiger hits the ball and everyone cheers and they run down the fairway and wait for his next shot. And you're Brant Snedeker and you're trying to focus on your own game, and there's people running all over the place and trying to get in position to watch Tiger's next shot. And that's really hard to deal with. And Tiger has dealt with it throughout his career and he's used to it. The other players aren't used to that on a daily basis, and I think that can affect their games.
Jason, is there any concern from Tiger and his camp that it may be too much too soon as far as health concerns go playing in back-to-back events?
He's done it now at least once already. He went from Riviera to the Honda and finished 12th in the second of those back-to-back events. So he has told us that he's going to be very cautious this time. He was not going to push it. He understood sort of the limitations of his body and what he could take. And the fact that he's being cautious and still playing back-to-back events for the second time this year, I think is a very good sign. I think it just means all systems go, and I didn't see any signs of back problems. I heard some people saying, oh, he's moving a little slower, just kind of bending over to pick up his ball for putts. And, you know, he looked like he was hurting a little bit. I didn't see any of that, and I can't imagine that if it was affecting him, first of all, he wouldn't be playing as well, and secondly, wouldn't be playing as much. So I just don't think that's an issue right now.
Yeah, and he wouldn't be able to swing the club at 129 miles an hour, the fastest
on tour.
How
is it possible the guy with a fused vertebrae can swing the ball, swing the club at 130?
More talented than the rest of them.
That's crazy.
It's going to be like a Tommy John surgery where players are going to say, hey, my back is okay right now, but I'm going to go get that fusion surgery because then I can swing 10 miles an hour faster.
Right.
So sick.
Here's what I thought was encouraging, Jason. If you've watched Tiger in his comeback, like some of us have, like studied every movement, these rounds were laborious for him. You could see at the first few weeks, it was not having fun out there. It was like, man, he was trying to get, you know, his kind of feeling back, being in the tournament, all of that. And he was putting himself in these terrible positions, and the guy looked freaking miserable. This week, it looked like vintage Tiger. Like, he looked like he was enjoying the round. He wasn't scared of where the next ball was going to go. He wasn't backing up every birdie with a bogey. It just looked like it's a completely different guy.
It's confidence.
Yeah, he's gaining confidence. He's gaining some momentum. He's getting into a rhythm and some tempo. And I think he understood that this Tiger loves the word process. Mm-hmm. And we always kind of snicker whenever he says, okay, the process, you're working on the process. It really is. That's exactly what this is, and we're seeing the progression right now. It's been a gradual progression. He finished in 23rd at the Farmers Insurance Open, Torrey Pines, in his first start of this year, missed the cut in his next one, finished 12th at the Honda, and now second in Tampa. He's making that progression. He's doing exactly what he's told all of us he needs to do, which is continually get better on a weekly basis.
How big is it going to be when he does win again? Like, how big does this rank in terms of comebacks, stories, you know, Michael Jordan coming back and have 50 or whatever? I mean, where does this rank?
I think it's huge. I mean, I've heard people say already that his next win would be the biggest of his career. Tiger was asked that and said, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. So he's not offering up an answer yet. I don't see how anything can be bigger than the 1997 Masters victory that had social and cultural ramifications that he just can't have at this point. I thought the 2008 U.S. Open victory, where he's playing on basically a broken leg and a torn ACL, was the stuff of legend. So I'm not sure that coming back from a fourth back surgery to win again necessarily is on the same level, but we'll wait and see what happens. If the next win happens at Augusta National next month, and he wins in dramatic fashion for his 80th career PGA Tour win and 15th major, and it's 5 years after his last victory, boy, I might change my tune on that. And it may be, in fact, the greatest win of his career.
Might be. I told Feinstein this. He disagreed. Actually, Eric disagreed too. But I think that this will be the most anticipated Masters in history, especially since Tiger's playing well. Just because I think
you
all
might
of those
be right now, coming off the second,
all of
you
those
might be
people
right.
are so intrigued now by the comeback.
Plus, and Phil won. Don't sleep on Phil.
I think this will be the most watched, most anticipated Masters of all time. What do you think?
You know, it's funny. I feel like we say this every single year. Every year we get off to a good start to the season, and some of the better players win. We always say, man, this could be the best Masters ever. And, you know, we've had a lot of good ones in the past 10 years or so, but it really is different this year. We've got, as you mentioned, Phil Mickelson coming off a victory. Tiger Woods now playing at an elite level once again. And all these other young players. Let's face it, from Justin Thomas to Jordan Spieth to Dustin Johnson, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Ricky Fowler. I mean, I can go on and on and on with all these really, really good players out there right now. And I've been saying this for years, and there's a big if to it, but that if seems to be coming to fruition. And it's if Tiger Woods can play at a high level once again, and you've got all these other young players who have learned how to win, who have learned how to be sort of top players in the world and have reached that level. Golf could be in a golden age for the next, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, maybe more than that, where we've got two generations intersecting right now, playing the best golf of their careers and going after it week in, week out. I think it's a tremendous, tremendous development for the game of golf.
What gets lost in all this Tiger hype is Paul Casey had 21 putts yesterday, which is just absolutely absurd.
It really is. I can't say enough about Paul Casey. He might be my favorite interview on the PGA Tour. He is
so likable.
He's eloquent. He's humorous. He's thoughtful. He said yesterday, he said, first of all, I said at the beginning of the week, if I didn't win, I wanted Tiger Woods to win.
Right.
And then when I showed up for the round on Sunday, for the final round, I said, boy, this really fits Tiger really well. I think he's going to win. Hmm. Paul Casey showed up at the golf course yesterday and thought that Tiger Woods was going to win the golf tournament and was kind of hoping that Tiger Woods would win the golf tournament. And instead, he won, and he was perfectly happy with it. But that just goes to show you sort of the mentality of the other players out there, that they're already keeping an eye on Tiger while they're playing their own games.
All right, Jason. Stuff.
Thank
Appreciate
you, Jason.
The times. Jason Sobel. You can check out his work at ESPN.com. Thanks,
Thank you,
pal.
Buddy.
Thanks, Elf.
Yep.
All right.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.